hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we have the privilege of digging deeper into our Sunday messages. I am Tammy DeLau, and today I am joined with Pastor Steve Musto. We're going to have a little something happen. We're going to be joined with some other people in a few minutes. So we're talking about the story of Mary.
We are.
And Mary being a mom when she's actually a child in our eyes. So moms, you get to go visit your mom.
I get to go see my mom.
Okay.
Today. Awesome. Yeah. Tonight. Okay. So Kathy and I in a couple hours, we'll get on a plane and go visit her in Pennsylvania. So really what that means is I get to see my mom and we get to have cheesesteak.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for us. And then we'll be back on Saturday, Lord willing.
Is your hair long enough? I just want to ask.
You always have to time the haircut the haircuts, with the trip.
There you go.
You just are not sure.
Your mom is delightful. It was so fun to get to meet her. And I know that she's probably watching this. So hello. Yeah. So it's great to see you. So today we're going to do something really different. So we were sitting in service development team and you had talked about, you were sending out some questions to some eighth graders, eighth grade girls specifically, because what we know of Mary is she would have been around 14 years old in that culture that they didn't wait till they were done with all the things that we wait to be done.
We're 22.
Right. And so I don't know, someone said, hey, could we have a 13-14 year old on the podcast? And somehow in that think tank, it happened. And we were joined, or I was joined. We spared them you because we didn't want to, you know, make them nervous because you're a scary dude.
I am scary.
You're scary, yes. But so I had the privilege of sitting in between two 13-year-olds yesterday.
Yeah.
And so let's have our audience check out that little interview with them. Okay. All right. I am excited about today. So we are looking at the Christmas story. And we realize that Mary was exactly the age of you guys. So we are just going to spend some time talking about who you are and why you're here. I'd love to know, you were just sharing a story, how this actually happened, which I think would be really fun to share. So we're going to start with you, Hannah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 13.
You're 13. Okay.
In eighth grade.
Okay.
I have a big family and I love them very much.
Okay, that's awesome. All right. When your mom asked you to do this, what did you feel like?
I was a little scared at first, but I was very excited that I got to do this.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Carly, tell us a little bit about yourself. What grade are you in?
Eighth.
You're in eighth grade. Okay. And how did you feel when your mom dropped this bomb on you?
Well, the nurse didn't hit me until today.
Okay. All right. So one of the questions that we have for you guys, because we're trying to figure out Mary being 13, what kind of things excite you? What do you like to do for fun?
I play lots of sports.
Okay.
So I do that like a lot.
Okay. I know you have something going on today, don't you? Like a basketball game or?
Yeah, I have two basketball games
today.
Right after school.
Okay. And you, what do you like to do?
I like most sports.
Okay.
Competitive swimming is like the best one.
Okay. You know what? We're talking about Mary and she is going to have a baby. Do either of you guys babysit, like to babysit, like children?
I love children.
Do you?
Okay.
And I have two younger siblings, so I watch them a lot.
Okay. All right. So you're the oldest?
I have an older brother.
Oh, you too? Okay.
And two younger siblings. Yeah. Okay. So the middle child.
You're the middle child. Okay. And how about you, Carly? Do you enjoy children and babysitting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got two younger siblings.
Okay. I would be so curious if Mary had siblings and if she was used to handling babies and taking care of them. All right. What kind of things make the teenager of 2023 nervous besides sitting on a podcast with me? What kind of things make you nervous?
If it was in the summer, it'd be like a swim meet or something a big test.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that can make me.
I do not like those.
Did you realize before you were asked to do this, when you think of the Christmas story, that Mary would have been your ages? Is that something that you were familiar with?
No, I did not know she was this young.
I kind of thought she was like 18.
Thought she was older?
Mm-hmm.
More like an adult, like we would think. Yeah. I didn't realize that either. And just from some research that I've done and talking to Pastor Steve, do you have any idea how old Joseph probably would have been?
No idea.
Okay. 30. That's scary, isn't it? In our culture. Yep. But usually the men were very set and ready to go and the women were a lot younger. And it wasn't weird in their days. Like it would be so weird to us now. Ooh, what kind of things do you worry about?
Well, for me, since we've moved a lot, I like worry about like not making friends in the new places.
That's right. You have moved a lot, haven't you? So how about you? What kind of things?
I could kind of relate to her because I moved school. So I totally would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't worry that much.
Okay.
But some things that I would like really be scared of would be sports and like getting hurt a lot because sports are like a really big part of my life. So So it's always like, oh, be careful because if you get hurt, then, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. So that really worries me.
Okay. So you do worry about things in the future because you definitely have a plan.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I am going to read the passage. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys to use your imagination. You are somewhere quiet and an angel appears to you. What are you thinking, Hannah?
I would be very surprised and confused on what just happened.
Yep, absolutely. How about you? Do you scare easy? Do you think that would be spooky at some level?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. So 13, you're not married. This angel tells you, you understand biology, you understand how babies happen, you're going to have a baby, and you know this is not possible. What are you thinking?
How?
Mm-hmm. So you'd first ask all, how yeah. like she did? Okay.
Same thing.
I mean, I just remember being 13. I mean, even now at my age, we do care what people think. And so to be pregnant and not in a normal way and not be married definitely would have a stigma or could have a stigma to it. What do you think you'd feel in this whole process if you were married?
Well, in the moment of the angel, I would, you know, be probably at first in denial. Like at first, like when you first hear it, I don't think I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a normal thing that happens every day. Mm-hmm. So, but after like the angel left and everything, I'd start to be like, you know what, maybe this did happen. And you know, I would be pretty excited that God chose me to do this because I'm just a 13-year-old girl, you know, like what?
Yeah.
I think I'd be excited to be like included in the return. Mm-hmm. Or the birth.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, you know, what she was thinking. But her answer, may it happen to me as you have said, then the angel left her. That astonishes me that she was that obedient. So does that astonish you at some level?
Yeah, I definitely would not be like Mary in that moment, I don't think.
Yeah. I know we had talked about before, you had never thought of her being your age. Does the Christmas story, this Christmas, is it going to take on new significance for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's pretty cool.
I think that the fact that God decided to get Mary to give birth at her young age and also like without being able to, but also being able to like someone that was too old also had a child, you know, was pretty cool. And at the same time, you know, like rather than just like one thing, he can do everything. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
It is. It's fun from both ends of the spectrum, knowing that God is ultimately ultimately in control. So Josh helped me realize this, which I don't know that I like this realization. I am probably closer in age to Elizabeth, and you guys are the age of Mary. So I think it's super cool that she ran to this older lady. And I hope as you have joined us here, because I know this has been a little nerve-wracking, that I could have brought comfort to you guys like Elizabeth did to Mary. So thank you for joining me, girls.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. So wasn't that fun?
That was so cool.
They were so good. So I'm a little bit bummed because as soon as the camera went off,
yeah,
they lit up and it came, like we got to see really who they were. Yeah. They are delightful yeah. girls.
They really are. Mm-hmm. And there's more going on. We don't give kids enough credit. There's more going on. They're mm-hmm. processing way more
yes.
than we think they are. Mm-hmm. To me, seeing a girl in 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that mm-hmm. age range, you really, it's shocking.
Right.
It really is shocking. Yep.
So I have a confession to make. Yeah. I mean, I am a mom of mm-hmm. children. I homeschooled. So I taught my children, you know, the birds and the bees. I stumbled through reading that passage because saying virgin and sexual relations in yeah. front of two little girls sitting next to me,
yeah.
I wigged out.
Because of their age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And mm-hmm. so imagine that.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So a lot of this is culturally placed mm-hmm. on us. So we have the ick factor that we saw yeah. with the girls mm-hmm. is a real thing. Mm-hmm. The ick factor is, some of it is cultural. Mm-hmm. That's a man. That's mm-hmm. an adult man. I don't want to be married to, I don't right. want to do things with an adult man.
And when I was 13, I thought 30 and 40 year olds were old.
Right. Like we're almost dead.
Yes,
yeah. Like
yes,
why would you
right.
do anything with them? Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, so a different culture, mm-hmm. the reason they did it, you wanted as much childbearing as you possibly could fit in. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to provide for your family. So the men needed to be established.
Okay.
And this is also the importance, by the way, of in the text, the betrothal period, mm-hmm. which is about a year long.
Okay.
So Mary and Joseph are engaged, but they are not sleeping together. Okay. They are probably living in Mary's parents' house.
Okay.
Joseph would move in with them
okay.
and would live there, and they would get to know each other in the safety of family.
Okay.
And they would eat meals together, and they would talk together, and they would sit on the front porch together. They would do chores together, and okay. and you would get to see the quality mm-hmm. of man that this was.
Right.
And
how he responded to your child. How,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and coach him mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit too.
Right.
So you would get to know this person okay. a bit. It was not like, you know, suddenly you're married.
Right.
It was different than that.
Okay.
So that helps, but it's weird.
It is weird. And for us, that would be considered a pedophile situation.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's so weird to overlay our culture on that and
right.
see it as a good plan. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is their culture.
Okay. Wow. So when you saw me sitting between these almost women,
yeah.
did they feel young? Like, was there a shock factor? Like that would have been Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. It's always jarring. And this is part of the reason why we did it and why we talked about it mm-hmm. was we wanted people to actually see, not conceptualize of a mm-hmm. 13, I roughly know what a 13, 14
year old
is.
Because if you watch a movie, the 13 year old is usually played by an 18 or 19 year old.
Yeah.
So we, yeah.
We miss the, oh, this is a kid.
Yeah, the innocence, just the.
But mm-hmm. as we saw in these two young ladies.
So much depth.
Depth and maturity. Mm-hmm. So it's there. Yes,
it's there.
And, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's helpful for us mm-hmm. to get a little picture. So what Mary's being asked to do is extraordinary. And so let's put this into the story for just a moment. Mm-hmm. think about the level of maturity she must have to respond as she does, which is, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you said. Right. Absolutely. That's remarkable. The other part that's remarkable, I love how the girls brought this out. Well, how is this going to happen?
Yep.
How is this going to happen? The other questions come later. Mm-hmm. How am I going to tell my parents? Mm-hmm. What's my grandmother going to say?
Right. What's Joseph going to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My friends, what are they going to think of me? Yeah. What does this mean for my future? Like all of these things. Mm-hmm. Those questions come later. The initial question that is on her mind is, well, how is this going to work? Right.
Which is the same question that Zachariah asked last week, but a different response.
Right. So. Yeah.
She was able to speak and hear.
Right. She was. So. And as we send the message last week, probably God gives a little bit of deference to this is a young woman versus this is an old priest who should know. But there's more to it than that. His seemed to come from skepticism. Mm-hmm. His seemed to come from, I don't really think this can happen. Right. Hers seemed to be, I have a health and biology question. Mm-hmm. Are you taking questions at this point? Right. You know, so... hers was a little bit more from a place of innocence. Right. And also, Zachariah doesn't really have a role. Mm-hmm. He's not being asked to carry this child. Right. Mary's being asked to carry. Right. Let's give her a little bit of leeway here.
She has a little more information. Mm. Okay. Wow. So help me with Jewish history. She is growing up. They are waiting for a Messiah. So when this angel says Jesus is coming, did they know that the Messiah would come from a virgin? Was that part of their story, their narrative, so there wouldn't have been a surprise that way?
It depends on how you read prophecy.
Okay.
So the virgin will be with child.
Yes, that feels obvious.
That feels very obvious. However, let's remember that when that was said to Isaiah, it was at a time when the people of Israel were disobedient. They're being carried off into exile. Mm-hmm. And I think I've said this, I don't know how many times on the podcast, old seminary professor of mine, the height of arrogance is assuming that God skipped the original audience to get a message to you.
Right.
And so God was not saying to Isaiah, listen, it's okay, because hundreds of years from now, everything, this guy, the Messiah, is going to come in and everything's going to be set right. I mean, you guys, it's going to be awful.
You're lost.
Sorry for you.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because hundreds of years, it'll be fine.
Okay.
That's not what he was saying.
Okay.
So what the disciples and the apostles and those who wrote the New Testament found was not always fulfillment of prophecy. What they would, as they read their Bibles, they would say, this was a further support of the prophecy. There was a now and there's a not yet. Okay. So the now in Isaiah's time was probably Isaiah right after that, after the virgin will be with child. It says that Isaiah and his wife, who's called the prophetess, had a child, who is given the name of I believe it's a promise that God will one day do this thing.
Okay.
And so it meant that to Isaiah.
Okay.
And that child was a sign of a promise that God was going to do something. And then later on, as they're reading scripture, they're like, wait a second, the virgin will be with child. It's also talking about there's a now fulfillment and there's a future fulfillment. Okay. That's the best I can do without like felt boards and markers.
I would love that.
PowerPoint.
So I think what you're saying is she maybe didn't realize that the Savior was going to come that way.
I don't know.
Hindsight for us, maybe we can see that correlation, but she maybe didn't.
I don't know that she put all the pieces together. I think it took her a while. So remember that we have 2,000 years of Christian history. and really smart people who have put a lot of time into thinking about these things and arguing about these things. And what we know, we base on them.
Right.
They were in the moment, very much in the moment. So
because they're just surviving.
That's it.
Figuring out what we're going to eat, what we're going to, yeah.
Yeah. So what we believe is that Luke, who is a scholar, interviewed Mary. He knows things about the story that nobody else writes. Even in that he writes, and I think he's the one who does it twice. He writes, Mary treasured these things in her heart. Mm-hmm. And that is a uniquely personal statement. Mm-hmm. That's not something that you tell to someone who then someone tells someone else to, and you write that down. That is Mary sitting across from you saying, and what I did was I treasured these things in my heart. And Luke's like, that's such a good line. I'm writing that down, and writes it down. And so Mary is probably the one giving us this account.
This information. Mm-hmm.
And she's telling us exactly what the angel said, exactly what her response was. But it is likely that while she knew that this was the Messiah, or at least realized very quickly, because she would have known her Bible, that it took a little while to figure out what that meant. Nobody knew this was going to be the Son of God. They knew he would be unique and special and he would do the miraculous, but they thought he would be a prophet and probably a mighty warrior. Right.
In and get rid of Rome.
Yeah. They kind of skipped over the rest of the stuff, the suffering servant, the lamb who was slain, that it took him a while to figure that part out. Cause remember Jesus had to keep talking about that with his disciples. Right. They didn't believe him.
Right. Yeah. And I find it interesting. I think it was Hannah who referred to loving that Mary knew about Elizabeth and understanding biologically it shouldn't have worked for her, and biologically because there wasn't a marriage, it shouldn't have worked for Mary, and the beauty of God taking both ends of the spectrum in a woman's life.
Yeah, that Hannah figured that out.
Yeah,
is,
I was again, just like, wow, these girls, they're deep. So,
and that is absolutely true. And I would not have even put that together. Yeah. That is something that she put together. And that God is doing, the miraculous on both sides. And so there is no limit either way. No. I can do anything.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So awesome.
So this week, this is the familiar story. Right? This is the one that we know, and this is the one that...
And sometimes in familiarity, we lose the beauty of it, so...
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful story, and Mary's response is so good. So one of the things we're going to talk about in the message that we need to make sure we understand is that Mary's response is worthy of applause, and we should say, hey, that's great. Mm-hmm. But we should be careful not to make it more than it is. It is obedience to the word of God.
And a great example for us.
Wonderful example. Mm-hmm. But I had another professor that used to say, there is, you don't get extra credit for doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
That's so true.
And so Mary does exactly what you're supposed to do when God says to do this thing. She says, I'm the Lord's servant and I will do that.
Right.
Okay. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. It's hard for her to do that because of her age and the culture and everything else, but she does what we would be expected to do in any situation where God says, do this thing. So why I want to point that out is because over Christian history, we have elevated Mary to unhealthy places and to places where I think does grieve the heart of God. Okay. And I think would grieve Mary to know that she has been lifted up to a place that is anywhere close to her son.
To deity,
And Jesus had the opportunity to do this with her. Mm-hmm. Lord, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he could have said, yes, turn and
send in the queen.
Right. So. Another point is blessed is the one who nursed you. Mm-hmm. And he could have said, yes, blessed is she. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She is blessed among the, and you should raise her. He doesn't say that. He says, blessed instead are the ones who do the will of my father. And so he turns, even on a couple of occasions, he turns away what would be praise
or worship
for her,
or
veneration. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be careful with that. There is no biblical mandate or biblical example of a prayer offered to any human being, and to Mary, to a saint, to anything, a really good person, that is an acceptable part of worship. And so that's hard, because I know the background that many of my friends have in the church, many of us grew up with, that might be a surprise, but at least in our tradition and reading our Bible, we just don't see that in Scripture.
So I know there are some faith traditions that happens. When I look at our faith traditions specifically, we've been so opposed to that I don't think that we have, at least, I don't want to say stood in awe, but doing what you are doing, helping us to realize who she was, how hard that was, that she did choose obedience. It's what we should choose. And that is, it's a great example for us.
Yeah.
Something to want to be like, but not someone to emulate that way. So,
yes. Yeah, she certainly is someone we should emulate in many ways, but it should stop there, along with other heroes of the faith,
right?
And say, hey, well done. Mm-hmm. I want my life to be more like that. Mm-hmm. But the point at which where we cross the line is when we then begin to beseech them for help, and their bodies are lying in the ground. We serve a risen Savior.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I am excited for this series, so it's been fun so far.
Yeah.
And thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.